The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Inside Healthcare, critical thinking for turbulent times. Your host is Robert Chamberlain. Our show takes an honest look at the healthcare industry at a time when there are more questions in this industry than ever before. Now, here is your host, Robert Chamberlain.
Hello, I am Robert Chamberlain, your host of Inside Healthcare, critical thinking for turbulent times. And as the intro stated, this is the only radio show dedicated to a vibrant discussion of the healthcare industry with specific focus on how current events shape strategy and impact hospitals, health systems, physicians, and all the aligned constituencies that are related to and impacted by this new era in healthcare. We like to begin each show with a look back over the previous week to condense for you relevant events that have shaped the ebb and flow of healthcare. So joining me is Ms. Holly West, Vice President of Corporate Communications at Applied Health Analytics. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning.
So let's start, Holly, by taking a look at some of the developments at the health system level with regard to their movement onto the payer side of the equation. And for those of you who have been in healthcare long enough, you remember back in the late 80s, early 90s when health systems started integrating into the payer side of the business. And I remember most specifically a health system called UniHealth America in Los Angeles that formed an organization called Care America that allowed it to not only provide healthcare services to members and inhabitants of Los Angeles, but also provide the payer capability to pay for those services. So, Holly, is this trend back?
Yes, it is, actually. The lines of the ACA and its key constituents continue to blur. Providers are struggling with the implications of the ACA, and despite, or maybe because of this, a good number are looking at assuming the role of payer to improve care management margins and their direct relationships with healthcare consumers. Strategy released a report that estimates that between 300 to 400 integrated delivery networks are in a position to consider risk-based opportunities. And in larger markets, 3 to 5 provider networks likely have the brand awareness necessary to explore risk-taking arrangements. Approximately 50% of health systems in the U.S. have applied or intend to apply for an insurance license. The report also found that payers are often willing participants in bundled care arrangements, while providers lead the charge, and both consumers and employers are receptive to bundles.
So it's a one-stop shopping potentially for health systems moving into this business. So employers, again, perhaps have an interesting opportunity to further partner with health systems. But we're also learning something through the health insurance exchanges. So if we look at the carriers that are playing in the state and the federal exchange level, what has been their experience?
Well, we mentioned last week that 3 major insurers in Tennessee applied to make significant increases to its insurance exchange plans. While Tennessee is not alone, the 6 most popular insurance plans on the New York State Health Insurance Exchange are seeking double-digit increases in their premium rates for 2015, with an average request of 14.6%. The most popular of these 6 plans, Health Republic, has requested an average overall rate increase of 15.2%, and other New York plans requested increases as high as 18.5%, according to filings with the state's Department of Financial Services. The reasons for this are very similar to what Tennessee said. All 6 insurance plans cite that rising medical costs and a sicker pool as the reasons for this request. And consumers will need to do their homework, that's for sure, when signing up for insurance on next year's exchange. What they have this year will not be equal to what they will have next year if they're looking only at costs.
So as the data is being released, we're learning that the individuals, the consumers who signed into the the 14th state and then the federal exchange are not the, the young invincibles, at least the percentage that we were expecting are not the age, the 18 to 34 age group. And in fact, they're older and sicker. So we would fully expect that the cost of health care to increase. And we also know that since the ACA mandates that carriers filing for a request of 10% or greater disclose that information. So we're going to continue to keep an eye on this to determine what's going on relative to the risk pool that's in the exchanges and its relationship to the cost of premiums, which seem to be going up at an alarming rate. But we're also seeing another shift, and that is employers continuing to shift the burden of health care costs onto employees.
Well, according to Medical Expenditure, a survey released by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, employers continue to seek benefit solutions that shift some of the cost to their employees. Most employers now require employees enrolled in group health plans to contribute towards the cost of their coverage. The number of employers covering the full cost of health care plan premiums continues to decrease. In 2013, more than 83% of employees enrolled for single coverage made a contribution towards their premium. The survey also found the average annual total premiums across all three coverage types were up in 2013 compared to 2012. The average total premium for single and plus one coverage per enrolled employee was up 3.5%. For family, it was up 3.6%. And then for individual contributions, that increased between 4.1 and 4.7% for that same time period.
So costs continue to rise, and you reported on last week's show, Holly, that deductibles and co-pays are also going up. How's that impacting hospitals and health systems?
It really is impacting them, actually. According to Kaiser Family Foundation, the number of people covered by an employer-sponsored high-deductible plan jumped from 4% to a whopping 31% in 2011. 17% of employers in a 2013 PwC survey offered a high-deductible plan as the only option for employees, with more than 44% thinking about doing the same thing. So what does all of this mean for health systems and hospitals? Well, consumers are now making more cost-conscious decisions, and this may lead consumers to delay treatment or reduce procedures and hospital admissions, and they're also starting to price out care. And some are actually turning to non-traditional outlets such as urgent care centers and retail clinics to meet their needs. Other things that are affecting hospitals right now are narrow networks. Some health insurers are selling policies through the insurance exchange. They're now turning towards narrow provider networks to appeal to consumers with low premium prices. Moody's Investor Services says that hospitals included in networks, in these narrow networks, face potentially decreased revenue by accepting lower payments than they would for broader contracts. However, hospitals who are excluded from a narrow network, they risk losing market share. It sounds to me like there's risk everywhere.
Well, there seems to be risk everywhere, and we continue to be, well, just having more downward pressure on volume and revenue. Is there any good news out of CMS these days?
Well, there continues to be a sort of fallout as we all plow through the 609-page proposal that CMS put out a bit ago about payments. So we mentioned last week's or the week before that this proposal and that how it talks about telehealth and talks about reimbursement for telehealth. But this week I'd like to maybe take a step back and look at something more broad and look at how it will affect acute care hospitals. According to Moody's, most providers will see a relatively modest increase in medical payments in the 2015 calendar year. The proposed payment rate increase of 2.1% for acute care hospital under Medicare's outpatient prospective payment system in 2015 would make for a modest credit positive. And outpatient revenue is increasing, and that makes outpatient reimbursements even more important in how they affect the financial aspect of hospital operations. The proposed rule includes the continuation of a 2% pay cut for hospitals that don't meet outpatient quality reporting requirements. And while Moody doesn't really see this as making a major impact in itself, the proposal does include a provision to start collecting data on services provided in off-campus provider-based departments. So this means that there could be a negative financial impact on hospitals who have been aggressively aligning with physicians. And finally, every year since 2003, Congress has enacted a short-term legislative patch to delay double-digit cuts determined by the SGR. In April, the patch protected physicians until the end of 2015. Well, Moody predicts that Congress will once again act to protect physicians when this patch expires.
Well, the sustainable growth rate is clearly important, and we're keeping a very close eye on that. But you mentioned Congress. The shadow of Congress also cast over this issue. What's going on at Capitol Hill?
Well, Capitol Hill has been busy, busy, busy. I actually have two pieces of news centered on the legality of portions of the ACA, one of which impacts Capitol Hill. So the U.S. House of Representatives, they are suing the Obama administration over delaying the implementation of the employer health insurance mandate, citing that the president changed the health care law without a vote of Congress. And as you know, the ACA requires employees with 50 or more workers to provide them with health insurance or pay fines, and the Obama administration has already delayed this requirement twice. So according to news items, the House may vote during the last week of July on this issue.
So you mentioned two things. What's the second?
Well, the second one is a biggie. Actually, the D.C. Court of Appeals ruled that the Obama administration cannot subsidize insurance premiums for the nearly 7 million people on the exchanges, stating that the text of the reform law clearly forbids income tax subsidies to go to low and income, to low and middle income Americans who are on the 34 federally run insurance exchanges.
And right on the heels of that, in fact, I understand literally 2 hours later, the Fourth Circuit upheld the very same provision. So we now have a vote for and a vote against, which tells me it's now set up to go before the United States Supreme Court, which once again will decide another aspect of the Affordable Care Act and its legality, if not constitutionality. Holly, big stuff taking place again relative to healthcare as an industry and as it impacts hospitals, health systems, and physicians specifically. So thank you very much for that insight.
My pleasure.
On our return, we're going to talk to three gentlemen who have undertaken a very innovative, if not interesting, initiative in the greater Jacksonville, Florida market. It's the combination of two trusted brands in the provision of what seem to be leading-edge population health management services intended to link a local healthcare system, a behavior modification firm, and employers within that market. They've been talking to brokers, getting a very positive response, and when we return, we're going to hear from Roland Garcia of Baptist Health, George Babish of the YMCA of Florida's First Coast, and Mr. Gene Lane of Applied Health Analytics, who are pulling off this partnership. See you in a moment.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Ever since I was a little girl, I've been dreaming of the day that my dad would get all dressed up and walk me down the aisle on my wedding day. I even planned what he would wear, how his tux would go with my dress, things like that. I remember thinking he'll have a little more gray hair by then, but he'll still be the handsomest dad ever. Then he had his heart attack. My mom gave him aspirin and drove him to the Halifax Health Chest Pain Center. All these people were running around, moving really fast, and my dad just looked helpless, lifeless. They tried this amazing new thing, lowering his body temperature to some exact degree to protect his heart and give him a chance. They called it intravascular hypothermia treatment. They did everything they could. They took great care of him every second. And because they did, he'll be taking care of me for years to come. and now I know he'll be there to walk me down the aisle.
Halifax Health. Live your life well.
When it comes to staying well or fighting disease, medicine knows more than it ever has. In fact, more medical knowledge has been created in the last 50 years than in the previous 500 years combined. Think about that. Promising new procedures, innovations in prevention, coming at a faster and faster pace. So how do you get medicine's greatest ideas working for you? It takes a system. At Carolina's healthcare system, thousands of doctors are connected across 900 locations, so doctors, specialists, and surgeons can share ideas across the hall or across the state. Our integrated system gives all your doctors instant access to your test results and health history, so everyone's working together, diagnosing and delivering your care. Today, building this culture of continuous learning takes a system. Connecting a network of care takes a system. Your health takes a system, working as one. To find out more, go to carolinashealthcare.org.
Life is full of precious moments, moments that truly matter. And believe it or not, listening to this could actually be one of them. Because at Baptist Health, we want you to know how you might one day save a life. You see, if someone near you suddenly shows signs of a stroke, every moment matters in the race to the right care. Because time lost is brain lost. At Baptist, there are now more options than ever for treating strokes when you get to us in time. Two of the best neurovascular surgeons in the country have joined Baptist to create the new Stroke and Cerebrovascular Center. Coordinating with expert stroke teams across the region, we offer fast access to every advanced treatment available for all strokes. So please, know the signs of a stroke. Call 911 immediately and get to Baptist. Together, we can offer families more precious moments that matter. That's changing healthcare for good. Visit BaptistJax.com to learn more. Again, that's BaptistJax.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Inside Healthcare with Robert Chamberlain. If you would like to participate on today's show with a question or a comment, please call into our show live on Mondays at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to insidehealthcare@appliedhealth.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Inside Healthcare. This is Robert Chamberlain, your host of the show. And as we have chatted previously in the past, we're taking a look at the healthcare industry and everything that's taking place within it. And there's a very, very interesting development that is, is evolving in the greater Jacksonville, Florida market. A highly competitive market with four different health systems taking positions and a very strong employer base. And also there's an organization that's been traditionally heavily engaged in what I can only describe as behavior modification, the provision of behavior modification services within that market, called the First Coast YMCA. And what we want to talk about today is the relationship between Baptist Health and the First Coast YMCA, who have come together to form a very interesting partnership to deliver uniform and what I would describe as best-in-class population health management services to employer in the greater Jacksonville market. So joining us today is Mr. Roland Garcia, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Baptist Health. With him is George Babish, who is Senior Vice President of Organizational Advancement at the YMCA of Florida's First Coast, and Gene Lane, who's Vice President of Applied Health Analytics, who is working with Roland and George to pull together this strategy. So good morning, gentlemen, and welcome.
Good morning.
Well, thank you, guys. And hey, Roland, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with you, because in partnership with George, you've launched a joint venture to address population health needs in the greater Jacksonville area. Can you give us a quick overview of the JV, its structure, and the initiative you call PATH relative to its products and targeted audiences?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. PATH is the Personalized Access to Health. It is a product that was developed combining resources from the YMCA and Baptist Health. As we look at Baptist Health and we looked at our strategies and how do we serve our communities and align with our mission. It was important for us to reach out to the community and look how we can improve the health of the community. In doing so, we believe that a vehicle to do that was to address the needs of employers in the area, and by engaging them and their workforce and improving their health. When we look at health, we look at the holistic approach of the individual, and it's not just the medical services that we, Baptist Health, can provide to the community, but also looking at prevention. And as we looked at prevention, an area where our partner, the YMCA, brought to the table the strength is their history, their mission, their presence in the community, and their expertise in providing programs to address the needs of individuals and organizations in maintaining a healthy lifestyle through the use of exercise and other programs that they offer. So we formed a joint venture. We are in the early stages of bringing it to market, and anticipate success, as we have already had interest from others in the market, employers in the market, to find out what exactly it is that we bring to the area.
George, the YMCA of Florida's First Coast is certainly not new to this business. You have a history of working with employers throughout the area. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, I think Roland summarized it very well. The Y has been in the business, if you would, of promoting healthy living for 100 years. And we keep discovering new ways to help our community citizens live healthier lives. And PATH is a new way of helping people achieve their personal goals. And we're excited to be in the partnership with Baptist.
And I recently read, I think it was the Gallup organization that had conducted a poll, and unfortunately for Jacksonville, but fortunately for the joint venture launched between Baptist Health and Florida's First Coast, YMCA, it places Jacksonville in the bottom fifth quintile when looking at perceptions and levels of infrastructure in its ability to support well-being in the area. Do you see what you're doing within the joint venture you've come together as two organizations to create to address this issue?
I do, Bob. The there are many, many organizations, both for-profit and not-for-profit, trying to address these gaps in healthy living and health care. No one organization can be successful. So by joining two respected not-for-profit organizations, we feel that we can move the needle in this area, although we're never going to be able to completely resolve these solutions unless more and more organizations in the community get involved.
So, Roland, you mentioned that the name of the product that you're bringing to market is called PATH, which I believe stands for Personalized Approach to Health. I'm looking at Baptist Health as one of the larger employers in the market. Is this something that you will be also making available to your own employees?
Well, we have been about employee wellness internally at Baptist for a number of years. This just takes it to another level. And, yes, it is part of what we offer our employee population. We are the largest private employer in the area, and one of the drivers, our experience and the results that we've seen over the last few years in our own internal programs, that grill goes to the side. We need to have an impact in the community. Employers are aggregators of individuals, if you will, in the community. So that presents the vehicle and the portal to have an impact.
And if you're just joining the show, I'm talking to Roland Garcia, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Baptist Health in Jacksonville, Florida. And also on the line with me is George Babas, who's Senior Vice President of Organizational Advancement at the YMCA of Florida's First Coast. And these two organizations have come together to bring to market a very sophisticated population health management capability to local employers. But George, I understand that your history with Baptist Health is a long and robust one, which includes something called the Healthy Living Center. Can you tell us about that relationship?
Yes, it's also a new innovation, Bob, that is just recently launched. And it's a space within the Y that the hospital occupies. And it's a partnership to bring both the clinical care along and merge it, if you will, with health behavior modification to help not only the Y members but the community that's nearby improve their health behaviors. It's a pilot program, and we plan on three of these over the next year, and we've had some interesting and exciting results in the early stages of this launch.
And Roland, I know, having known your organization and come to know the level of sophistication there, I'm sure you've taken a look at the market, you've conducted your due diligence, and you've probably run into a number of workplace health initiatives, which range from everything from wellness to more sophisticated population health. What distinguishes PATH from other workplace programs?
Well, first of all, we believe that the YMCA brings to the solution that we offered the market, an organization that aligns its mission with ours, but also has the respect and the credibility in the community for the work that they do, and they excel in that area. From the other component, Baptist Health itself, we are the largest market share health system in our area with 32% of the market, and continue to grow. We are in five counties and certainly have a long tradition of excellent health care, quality care, and service to our patients. So those are two strong organizations in the community. Beyond that, we offer employers the access to technology that it's somewhat unique in the market, in that not only does it allow the employer to more strategically decide where they invest for improvement of the health of their workforce, but also gives them the independence from a managed care company that typically retains information difficult to access. So they have a lot more control over the information about their workforce, how they use it, how they deploy and invest. And ultimately, as they progress through the years, the independence to go from company A to company B in terms of whether they're self-insured for TPA services or they're buying insurance, they still retain that independence.
Joining Roland Garcia and I and George Babish is a gentleman by the name of Gene Lane, who's Vice President at Applied Health Analytics. Gene, good morning. Can you tell me what your role in this initiative is?
Bob, my role has been to serve as a consultant, including taking an inventory of the existing service lines and programs that both parties had, and trying to determine what might be appropriate and include in PATH. Also gathering data and identifying existing commercial market relationships within both organizations and compiling a list of prospective clients. We also identified the structure of the program and the needed staffing and have interviewed prospective leaders and staffing and are in the process of completing the team as we speak.
Gene, I know that you conducted an audit of national competition targeting employers in this market. Does PATH address or perhaps exceed the capability of this competition?
I think PATH is very well positioned to address the competition. Having two organizations such as Baptist and the YMCA that are able to complement each other in what is offered to key elements. So many national providers are in this field and in our area, and they're not able to service on a local level. They don't have the network in place to provide the robust medically-based programs or on-site programs that address the needs for behavioral modification, and PATH has this ability.
Well, we know that healthcare transacts on a community-by-community basis. Gene, do you see that this is a similar strategy that other health systems across the country might adopt?
Very much so.
Have you involved all the key gatekeepers in forms of benefit consultants and brokers? And if you have talked to them, what has been their reaction to the program?
Well, they've been very receptive. In fact, several are quite excited about the ability to offer a program that doesn't depend on one insurance product over another. So this does allow the benefit consultants and brokers to look for the best rates available and still provide a quality program. They're excited about our solutions and the fact that we can target certain individuals that have health risks and try to provide programming for modifications. The aggregate reporting, as we go back to the company, the benefit consultants are very pleased that they're able to participate in that and learn about what products they can offer their clients to improve the overall health.
George, one thing that I'm interested in here is I know from our experience in working with health systems across the country that you will often be knocking on the door of an employer that has a strong local presence but also is a national employer with branches and offices across the United States. Do you see what Florida's First Coast YMCA is doing in Jacksonville as a model that can be replicated across the country?
Yes, the YUSA is a federation of 1,000 501c3 not-for-profit organizations. We're not a franchise, so it makes it difficult to create a national model per se. But there is a national task force right now looking at the PATH model and other models that could perhaps lead the way and break new ground into working with national employer groups.
And it seems to me that if that strategy is duplicated through the combination of the markets that have an active YMCA and a local health system, could you not compete competitively with national disease management firms, for example, by providing uniform population health management services to employers that have locations across the United States?
We could. We are proud that our programs are evidence-based, and we have national support from, for instance, the CDC for our diabetes prevention program, which is a national model. So, yes, we feel that this is our mission, our work, and we want to find new and exciting ways to accomplish it.
Well, if you reference the CDC, they tell us that 72% of the healthcare dollars spent for the treatment of disease and illness could have been prevented. It seems to me the role of behavior modification is huge in terms of addressing the national healthcare issue. George, I can't think of any other organizations that are better equipped to do it, but I really want to applaud your partnership with Baptist Health because it seems to me to be the correct combination of medical expertise and behavior modification expertise delivered locally. Gene, let me ask you a question. You mentioned that you're a consultant involved in leading this initiative. What was your process when engaging First Coast Y and Baptist Health?
Well, the process was to meet with them and determine what existing programs they already had available and to find out what we could bring together in a quality program. And from that point, we were able to work within the platform that Applied Health offers and create solutions that were meaningful when targeting individuals. So we were able to create solutions that were specific to this particular program.
Well, it seems to me that you have four different constituencies at the table here that potentially all can benefit. Baptist Health being one, Florida's First Coast YMCA being the second. Clearly, the employer has the potential to benefit and the employee. Gene, can you talk a little bit about how each of these benefit?
Well, from the employer standpoint, they're looking at methods to control health care costs. They want to have a healthier workforce. They want to prevent or reduce absenteeism. They want presenteeism. So this program allows them to offer that ability to their employees to make some behavioral modifications and increase their health. From the benefit consultants space, this is a robust program that they can use no matter who their employer client is, the employer, and it doesn't matter what insurance plan they're on. They can be with Cigna, Florida Blue, what have you, and they don't lose their data if they move plans, which benefits the employer as well because they can make changes to their existing provider and not have to worry about losing anything they've done in the past.
Gene Lane, I apologize for interrupting, but we're up against a hard break here. I want to thank you for your contribution. We've been talking to Roland Garcia, Senior Vice President and Chief Information Officer of Baptist Health, and George Babish, who is heading up the YMCA of Florida's First Coast Population Health Strategy within the greater Jacksonville market. And gentlemen, I got to tell you, we're going to be watching Jacksonville, and we hope further down the line to have you back on the show to share some pretty exciting results. On our return, we're going to be talking to a gentleman by the name of Elliot Hauser, who is on the IT side of the business, and take a look at what's going on there.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Life is full of precious moments, moments that truly matter. And believe it or not, listening to this could actually be one of them. Because at Baptist Health, we want you to know how you might one day save a life. You see, if someone near you suddenly shows signs of a stroke, every moment matters in the race to the right care. Because time lost is brain lost. At Baptist, there are now more options than ever for treating strokes when you get to us in time. Two of the best neurovascular surgeons in the country have joined Baptist to create the new Stroke and Cerebrovascular Center. Coordinating with expert stroke teams across the region, we offer fast access to every advanced treatment available for all strokes. So please, know the signs of a stroke. Call 911 immediately and get to Baptist. Together, we can offer families more precious moments that matter. That's changing healthcare for good. Visit BaptistJax.com to learn more. Again, that's BaptistJax.com.
Ever since I was a little girl, I've been dreaming of the day that my dad would get all dressed up and walk me down the aisle on my wedding day. I even planned what he would wear, how his tux would go with my dress, things like that. I remember thinking he'll have a little more gray hair by then, but he'll still be the handsomest dad ever. Then he had his heart attack. My mom gave him aspirin and drove him to the Halifax Health Chest Pain Center. All these people were running around, moving really fast, and my dad just looked helpless, lifeless. They tried this amazing new thing, lowering his body temperature to some exact degree to protect his heart and give him a chance. They called it intravascular hypothermia treatment. They did everything they could. They took great care of him every second. And because they did, he'll be taking care of me for years to come. And now I know he'll be there to walk me down the aisle.
Halifax Health. Live your life well.
When it comes to staying well or fighting disease, medicine knows more than it ever has. In fact, more medical knowledge has been created in the last 50 years than in the previous 500 years combined. Think about that. Promising new procedures, innovations in prevention, coming at a faster and faster pace. So how do you get medicine's greatest ideas working for you? It takes a system. At Carolina's healthcare system, thousands of doctors are connected across 900 locations, so doctors, specialists, and surgeons can share ideas across the hall or across the state. Our integrated system gives all your doctors instant access to your test results and health history, so everyone's working together, diagnosing and delivering your care. Today, building this culture of continuous learning takes a system. Connecting a network of care takes a system. Your health takes a system, working as one. To find out more, go to carolinashealthcare.org.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Inside Healthcare with Robert Chamberlain. If you would like to participate on today's show with a question or a comment, please call into our show live on Mondays at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You may also send an email to insidehealthcare@appliedhealth.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Hello and welcome back to the show. This is Robert Chamberlain. I'm your host of Inside Healthcare, Critical Thinking for Turbulent Times. And I cannot think of a show that is better named than that one, particularly as it relates to the information technology space within the healthcare industry. And to talk a little bit more and expand upon that, I have with me today a gentleman by the name of Elliot Hauser. Elliot is the co-founder and chief information officer at Applied Health Analytics, where he heads the development of all proprietary software programs, internet applications, and information systems. And Elliot has more than 20 years of experience and has served as the president of a company called eSolveNet, which is an information consulting and IT development firm whose clients included such notables as Vanderbilt University, Caterpillar Financial, and also Applied Health Analytics. So, Elliot, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So, Elliot, let's talk a little bit about what seems to be really two things, something that has a tremendous amount of investment capital moving into within the healthcare industry, and something else that also seems to hold such great promise as information technology within this new era of healthcare. We're seeing some pretty tremendous changes taking place in this area, especially as it relates to healthcare. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening with technology in the healthcare space?
Yes. It's very interesting. In fact, I've been in IT for a while, as you say, 20 years, and these are the most interesting times I've ever seen, especially as it relates to hospitals and health systems. In the past, technology investments have been large investments concentrated in high-dollar diagnostic and treatment methodologies, such as imaging and more recently robotics, and how that affects surgery even. But these days, we're seeing how smaller dollar investments can be made in ubiquitous technology, and these can have a very large and positive impact in the delivery of healthcare and in outcomes. So, for instance, we're seeing a tremendous push to mobile technology, and some will say that mobile technology is yesterday's news, but it's not so in healthcare. This is an industry that has been slow to adopt new technologies, and I would contend that that's a good thing because it usually takes several years for new technology to be vetted, to mature, and for the kinks to get worked out. But now that mobile has seen improvements in cost, speed, availability, and reliability, it could be a real game-changing technology in healthcare. That is, if the security issues can be worked out.
Well, let me ask you this. We had a couple of shows ago a discussion about telehealth and how the proposed CMS reimbursement rules include the reimbursement of telehealth-related services. So clearly that's a big deal in as it relates to IT and the provision of care at the health system level. But I also participated in a quarterly conference call that Joe Swedish of WellPoint had led. And one of the things that he's very excited about is exactly what you're talking about, and that's mobile technology. Can you talk about what other factors are forcing the adoption of mobile tech?
Well, you just talked about CMS and how they recently expanded and clarified the rules surrounding reimbursement for telemedicine. Specifically, they said that telemedicine must go beyond telephonic coaching for disease management, and it must have a video component. It's only been until recently that video and audio has been robust enough and high quality enough to be delivered on mobile devices. And another important factor is that really there hasn't been a large enough adoption of cell phone technology. And it's not just cell phones. It's more importantly, or more specifically, smartphones. So a recent Pew Research poll shows that the adoption of cell phone use has just hit 91%. The smartphone ownership is at 56%. This is approaching critical mass, as we would call it, for to be able to deliver a robust and consistent and high-quality healthcare via mobile devices. And when I say mobile devices, I'm talking about cell phones, tablets, things of that nature that people carry around with them at all times. The Pew Research shows also that that there are certain segments of the population that are a little slower to adopt, and that would be rural areas, people over 65, What else that study said?
Well, I can tell you, one of the things that I found interesting about the utilization of mobile technology is when you look at the demographics through an economic lens, there is no, particularly as you start moving down the scale, the utilization of mobile strategy largely in the form of cell phones actually increases.
Yes, yes. So again, that's going to be very important to the delivery of distributed healthcare using mobile technology.
But tell me about things like Fitbit and what's emerging as M2M within the healthcare industry, machine to machine. What role does that have?
Well, again, this is also part of the whole push towards mobile technology. We're seeing such devices as Bluetooth scales and blood pressure cuffs, and wearable devices such as Fitbit and the Fuel Band. These have become a hot commodity, and I believe these devices will improve in functionality, accuracy, and reliability over the next few years. I predict these devices will have a huge impact in healthcare, both from a cost perspective and an availability and access perspective.
So what are the benefits that we could realize through the adoption of mobile tech?
Well, obviously, you'll see improved access. And as I mentioned, people in rural areas or those who are homebound can enjoy greater access and availability to healthcare services.
So healthcare services increasing, people easier to get a hold of, we're sharing greater data, greater accessibility to a larger amount of data, some pretty significant information opportunities. But I got to tell you, I get a little bit scared when I think about that, particularly as I think about how pervasive within the tech industry we're seeing things such an increase in the number of hackers. What about security and privacy?
Well, that's obviously the elephant in the room. There have been quite a few cases recently that we're seeing that security and privacy are not quite where they need to be. For example, the PHI of 1,700 employees of Dominion Resources was hacked through Stay Well Health Management. Apparently, the hacker gained access through a subcontractor's system, on-site health diagnostics, and that was the screening provider, and they were able to get access that way. Now, so through greater interconnectedness, obviously, there's greater insecurity, and so we need to develop tighter controls and better security encryptions and things of that nature to allow us to be able to manage these things. But as you mentioned Joe Swedish earlier at WellPoint, how he was very excited about the adoption and the changes that he was seeing in technology and healthcare. He was mentioning things such as how they are changing the reimbursement to be able to accommodate these kinds of things. And again, that's right in line with how the CMS views technology in healthcare. And he painted a picture about how a mother that was home with her sick child was able to hook up a device to her cell phone, and the doctor would be able to look into the child's ears and say, oh, he has an ear infection, and be able to prescribe meds right then and there. That's obviously the type of improvement in access that we would like to see with mobile technology. And again, these are the kinds of things that it seems like a pretty simple and proposition, but security is going to be very important in this space.
So let's talk about that a little bit. One of the things that you had mentioned to me prior to the show was something called the Statement on Standards for Attestation Engagements, also known as SSAE 16. What is SSAE 16, and how would that perhaps have helped the company that you mentioned, Dominion Resources, in its effort to deliver a very high-quality population health program through its partners with StayWell Health and Online Health Diagnostics? How would perhaps SSAE 16 certification might have preempted that hacker?
Well, SSAE 16 is basically requires audits. There are very strict guidelines that's surrounding privacy, security, integrity, and availability. Those four aspects must come together as one. And that access not only extends to the technology sphere, such as servers and networks and how you gain access, but also more of a physical type aspect. So, you know, if you have paper copies of screening data coming in, how is that to be managed? Where is it to be stored? How long is it to be stored? Are you supposed to make scans of it? How do you back up those scans? There are so many aspects to this that it really requires somebody who's an expert in these areas to come on site, make an assessment, make recommendations, and for those recommendations to be followed, and then for regular audits to occur. As we grow increasingly interconnected and data is more readily available through networks, there has to be greater guidelines put around these things, and that invariably requires auditing to happen.
So if I'm on the provider side of the equation and I want to get involved in the collection management and analysis of protected health information, PHI, is the SSAE 16 certification important to me?
Absolutely. If I were out in the market for finding a vendor for population health services or other type of services, I would look very carefully at the company's history. I would see whether or not they have had breaches in the past. I would look and see what certifications they had, maybe SSAE 16, perhaps PCI compliance or a SOC 1 or 2. These are all certifications that that reflect a company's security and seriousness about privacy and security.
And if I don't do that and a breach similar to what happened with Dominion Resources takes place, what's my potential exposure?
Oh, wow. Well, that's, I don't know. It could be potentially devastating. Not only as an employer, your employees are going to be very unhappy. It's going to affect morale, obviously. But then each individual employee has exposure. That could be, somewhere from identity theft, whether they're looking to address that from whether they want to gain access to your credit, or there's so many different ways that this can be leveraged by a hacker and a malicious third party. So it affects both, individuals, but it also affects the sum total of everyone, and I would be very concerned about
it. Well, gaining employee trust is often a challenging thing, and then you've got to lay in place at the employer level a Band-Aid that helps to take care of the breach that had taken place. But I also know on the health system level, it's potentially a fine in the hundreds of thousands, sometimes, as we've reported previously on this show, in the millions of dollars for a breach related to the provision of PHI to somebody who should not have it, who is not acting in the form of a covered entity. Elliot, I've read a lot in the industry on the technology front, and I'd like you to talk a little bit, if you would, about big data. What does that mean to you, and is it a threat or opportunity?
That's an interesting question. I'm for me, the jury's still out on big data. I think for certain industries, big data makes a lot of sense. Now, if you're on the web and you're browsing, you're surfing around, your profile is basically following you wherever you go. And in fact, your profile is being, for every click that you do on a web browser or it's being tracked, and it helps build out your profile. Web big data also comes into play when whenever you make a purchase. So your credit card purchases can be linked to your also to your internet access, and it also can be linked to what can be gleaned from your email habits. You know, there's interesting aspects to that as it may relate to healthcare. I think it's more important to have right data than big data. So insofar as how you collect data on individuals and how you use that to build a population health program, I think it's not so much the amount of data, it's the quality of data that's going to be more important. I'm still waiting to see how big data plays out.
Well, and I realize that's a topic that could go on and on and on. I've heard it described by an individual who's a consultant industry as that big data is Titanic. Joining me on the show today is Elliot Hauser. He's Chief Information Officer at Applied Health Analytics, and he's been talking about the role of IT within the new era of healthcare. And Elliot, thank you for joining us.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's the end of the show this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and remember to come back next Monday at 8 a.m. Central Time. We have another one-hour program. There are a couple of very entertaining guests that are going to be speaking specifically on the area of innovation within the healthcare industry. I'd like to make a special thanks to Holly West, our executive producer, to Brent Comer, our engineer, Brent Henderson, our intern. And until next week, I am your host, Robert Chamberlain, and thank you for listening to Inside Healthcare.
Thank you for joining us this week for Inside Healthcare. Robert Chamberlain will be back live next week on Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time. You may also catch our weekly replay on Saturdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, both on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll see you on the next show.